Blog Talk Radio.
Hey guys, this is Those Guys with your host, Matt Marrero, along with your other host.
Oh, hi. I'm Satish Rem.
This is not Satish's favorite gem.
It actually isn't, but...
Fair enough. What is your favorite gem?
Gen 2.
Gen 2? Well, I
yes,
mean,
and the
there.
Subsequent remake
but...
that is technically part of Gen 4, but...
Right. So, but of course, this is not your favorite game, but it's your second favorite game, speaking specifically of Pokemon Emerald.
Yeah, Pokemon Emerald stands in my head as the second best Pokemon game that's ever been produced in terms of the main series games.
Right.
That standing only under HeartGold and SoulSilver for me. And part of it, you know, in terms of recency effect because of Black 2 and X and Y, you know, these... Well, Black and White 2 as well. You know, but recency effects has made me really appreciate Black and White and X and Y because of what they've been able to do. But at the time and still considering everything, I think Emerald stands as one of the best Pokemon games that they ever put out there for a number of reasons, actually.
Yeah, fair enough. I didn't really enjoy this Gen 3, the gen that we're talking about today. You know, focusing really on Emerald, but I mean, an overall Gen 3 kind of situation, you know, comparing games and things like that. Yeah, I wasn't a big fan of this gen when I first got my hands on it because I had already been through, you know, Gen 1 and Gen 2. So, you know, them kind of getting the kinks out of, you know, the system, the Game Boy Advance games and things like that, it just, I don't know, it felt weird to me. Emerald wasn't, but I think just Ruby and Sapphire, just to me, you know, maybe it's the fact that, you know, they weren't my first games. I already, you know, went through. I mean, when you go through Crystal, you know, or even Silver and Gold, you sit there and you're wowed. And this game didn't wow me the first time around. You know, now
yeah,
I enjoy it.
We touched on it a little bit in last week where, I mean, you called Ruby and Sapphire something along the lines of like a prototype. And... You know, while for some people they won't agree with that, I, knowing both of the games, Ruby and Sapphire, and then, of course, Emerald, pretty well, I can understand where the justification for that kind of a comment comes from. Because, and again, that's not to say that Ruby and Sapphire were bad. I mean, in their own right, they had wonderful merit, for me, especially because I like Gen 3 a lot. But, you know, I look at Emerald and just the stuff that they were able to put out there with Emerald showed off that kind of, for me, it was a bigger jump from Ruby and Sapphire to Emerald than it was from Gold and Silver to Crystal.
Right, fair enough. I can see what you mean. There were some story changes and things like that. Also, if anyone wants to call in and talk about this gen with us, this game with us, your experiences, your fun times, crazy glitches, shiny catches, all this cool stuff and more, please call in. The number being 718-664-9468. Again, the number being 718-664-9468. And Tish, tell them about our other call-in feature.
Yeah, so that same number, 718-664-9468, is significant because not only can you use that number to call in and talk to us on air, when you call in, you can just hit the one button on your cell phone or touch-tone house phone, and we get alerted to the fact that you want to get on air for a question or a comment. If you don't want to do that, however, and you just need an alternate way to listen to us because your internet's down or in use or just whatever that may be, you can call that number without pressing the one button when you call in, and you can just sit there and listen to us calmly. We put you in the queue, and we're all happy.
Yes, we are. So So yeah, speaking of this game, you know, before we get into the, you know, the behind the scenes stuff, you know, I'd like to kind of take a fun approach and talk about our experiences with the game. Emerald, I think you've mentioned your Emerald story before, like how you acquired.
Yeah, actually, yeah, I had Emerald pre-ordered, and it was big because at the time I was somebody who frequented like flea markets for my games because I couldn't really get them at full price, like at the GameStop and stuff like that, or EB Games actually at the time was a big thing. So I had Ruby and Sapphire, but I had like bootlegged or fake versions of them that were basically like badly translated Japanese copies, or just like ones where the internal battery had run dry from like the first time.
Right.
Yeah. So it was, excuse me, it was definitely weird for me. So I never really got to play through Ruby and Sapphire. I had some time with Sapphire, but it really wasn't until Emerald. And with Emerald coming out, I was really excited because this gen really enticed me, and it being on the Game Boy Advance was new because, hey, you know, everything else was on the Game Boy Color for me. I didn't get to get Fire Red or Leaf Green at any point until, like, way late in the future. So Emerald, I actually had it pre-ordered from GameStop because I was trying to save up the money for it. So to this day, I still have all the crap they gave you when you pre-ordered Emerald, one of them being, like, this nice, shiny Rayquaza tin that I used to hold my money on, along with, like, some other stuff. And I hold on to that pretty dearly because it just reminded me, like, wow, I pre-ordered this game and got it the day it came out and then, like, blazed through it because I was in love with it. So it's a fondness of, like, a general childhood fondness, but also, like, I really did appreciate the game and the stuff that it offered, the Battle Frontier being the big thing, but we'll get to that.
Yes, we will. By the way, I know I mentioned Gen 3, and there will be some references to Fire Red and Leaf Green, but that is not for this week's show. That is most definitely going to be next week. Of course, we can update you through our, you know, social media that we'll mention at the end of the show. If, you know, it would be either that next week or Diamond and Pearl, but assuming that we're going along with the Gen 3 train, Fire Red and Leaf Green would be a lovely, you know, start. I mean, the first remix. It would be very interesting to talk about, especially, you know, some of my favorite games. I really enjoyed Fire Red a lot. But anyway, so, speaking of Emerald, there's a lot of, my experience with Emerald. I think it's literally just the experience of, you know, I played Ruby and Sapphire, and I think I got Emerald very late, and I'm not sure how late, but at least it felt like Emerald came out late, you know, compared to, Crystal and things like that. So it comes out, and then I get it, and then, you know, there are a lot of, like, nice little changes that are really fun, and I think one of them being that you mentioned that I even forgot about until you mentioned it to me in person, Steven now has a different story than he did in Ruby and Sapphire, as if it's the future, you know, but it's still, the main storyline that you face in Ruby or Sapphire.
Yeah, I mean, they combined the two stories to basically make it so, you know, in Ruby you were dealing with Team Magma, who were obsessed with using Groudon to, like, make land the dominant force on Earth. And, of course, Team Aqua was the people who were set as trying to get Kyogre to, like, flood the world with sea, which in retrospect kind of seems like really amusing ideals. But they combined them both in Emerald, where you had to tolerate both of them at the same time. And, you know, that was kind of cool for me, because immediately off the bat, I'm like, all right, I can dig it. You know, I'm dealing with both things. I feel a little bit badder, more like, you know, like I got to do more shit. That's cool. And as you mentioned, yeah, Steven, who's the champion in Ruby and Sapphire, is not the champion in Emerald. In fact, the 8th gym leader from Ruby Sapphire, Wallace, has moved on to become the champion. And his old mentor, Juan, has replaced him at the gym, while Steven still is available for battle in a cave, deep inside a cave, hiding with rocks.
And Steven,
because he is Steven's stone.
If I'm correct, Steven is the one who helps you get Deoxys. Am I wrong with this? Am I right with this?
Well, Deoxys is only available through hacking.
Right, but isn't there a Deoxys story that is available, at least for the Japanese, that Steven is involved in? Or at least he speaks of Deoxys, he speaks of space? This Steven speaks of the grander universe?
I am not completely sure about that, because to my knowledge, I know nothing about, like, a Deoxys, I don't know what Deoxys event they got, to be honest with you. I'd have to look into that. Sure. I know Fact Checker's around, so I'll have them look into that in the meantime, because I don't want to give you false information. But what I do know is that relating to those kind of events, the space station was a thing, because, you know, like how we had all those old stories in the earlier gens about, like, if you do this, this will happen?
Yes.
The people in the space station in Emerald, and I believe in Ruby Sapphire as well, as long as your clock battery kept going, every day that you went back, because the game kept time passage, they would tell you, like, hey, another successful launch. This is launch number X, you know? So
right.
There was a supposed idea that in the American versions that if you got to 100, that you would be able to be launched to the moon with them and get Jirachi. And I believe, it sounds ridiculous, but I believe that the Japanese event had something to do with the space station. So it wasn't completely out of left field compared to, like, you know, the truck rumors and crap like that. Fact Checker's going to have to look into that as well. But relevant, because Jirachi and Deoxys are constantly one of the more, I think, favored event-only Pokemon that have come out. Yeah, I mean, Deoxys being the result of basically, like, it's a DNA Pokemon. Deoxys, of course, being based in deoxyribonucleic acid. And Jirachi just being, like, you know, getting Meteor, Doom Desire and Meteor Mash, like these specific kind of star galactic type moves that Metagross had access to as well. But Jirachi kind of had this charm for people.
I can understand. I mean, it's just, you know, in my opinion, it's very pretty. You know, I mean, I just really think it's just a nice, like, it's just a nice Pokemon, you know, to the eyes. And, you know, of course, I don't know, like, you look at some of the legendaries, I feel, and I think on one of the only, you know, I mean, there is Celebi, which is nice, but it's also part bug, and I know people get freaked out with bugs. So, you know, I mean, there's Mew, but I don't know, something about Jirachi, just when I saw Jirachi the first time, I thought, ooh, pretty.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Really... Also kind of creepy, because the little slit on its stomach is another eye. But...
pretty until you see that. Then it's pretty creepy.
Until it, like, possesses your nightmares with that. But, you know, Gen 3 provided a lot of Pokemon that I was very fond of. And right off the bat, the fire starter, Blaziken, is widely known as one of the more popular ones across all the generations.
I love the torture.
Yeah, it's so powerful competitively, actually, that it has been banned because of an ability that it got later on. It used to be... Yeah, it used to be, well, banned to Ubers, by the way, not banned from the game, by the way. Nothing's been banned from the game yet, as of yet. I think I've told you this. But banished to Ubers because of the fact that its hidden ability, which you can pick up in the later games, is speed boost, which means every turn that passes, it gains a 50% speed boost until it gains, like, six stages of that, which is ridiculous. It ended up being able to run roughshod through most of any Pokemon at the same level of it, and...
This is going to sound silly, but I really need to ask you this. Who comes together to say this is bad?
It's interesting to like, talk about it, because there's a website and a community called Smogon, and they're basically the authority on competitive battling for Pokemon. Now, to be fair, you know, it's sort of a disclaimer. They're not... the hard and fast, like, police on competitive battling, because it's sort of like they are players themselves, so it's a bunch of people who play the metagame deciding on the metagame with input from other battlers. You know, there's a forum that surrounds it that people are constantly discussing, like, this is broken, this Pokemon's broken, or this Pokemon is ranked too highly, you know? So... but they're, because of the dedication they have to it and the amount of people involved in the project and their openness to input from the community, they're looked at as kind of the authority on this stuff. So most people play by the rules that they set for their battling tiers.
Which is nice, because, I mean, why would you not?
Yeah,
it's very nice to...
What's significant is that the Pokemon official tournaments don't often go by these rules. You can find like battle tournaments and stuff running roughshod with, like, especially not the official ones like Masters tournaments and stuff like that or World Championships, but like the little battle competitions that they hold online throughout the year. You'll find people running roughshod with like really just cheating or unfair abilities. Like, for example, one of the things that is known very much in competitive battling, like through Smogon, and which is what, again, most people use, is that, like, evasion clause. Things like double team and sand attack, those moves aren't permitted because it adds more of a luck aspect to the game, which is what we try to avoid. So you'll find people in the Pokemon tournaments, like the online competitions, abusing moves like minimize or double team because it gives them an unfair advantage.
Yeah, that's upsetting. You know, I mean, especially when, you know, you know, if you're battling competitively, I mean, arguably, it's competitive battling, of course, but it's just you and a friend battling competitively, or you and someone, you know, of your class who you both said, okay, but there aren't really, I would consider not a lot on the line compared to, let's say, tournaments where you could win money, and then those same rules are not in place.
Yeah, also, most competitive Pokemon tournaments, like the Masters and stuff like that, they constantly play double battles. Another feature actually introduced in Generation 3, which is cool.
Yeah.
But, you know, double battles is something that is what not the conventional way of playing, I'll say. And not to say that it's not super popular, but singles is the, like, you know, the metagame. Singles is the life. So you play singles a lot. Doubles is still played. Triples has its own little niche because people sit there and they're like, hey, triples, why the fuck not, right? But, you know, doubles has its place, and they use this in the Pokemon official tournament. So that's why, you know, you'll find sometimes people like me and some of the people you've seen me battle or know of me battling in school play singles, but we don't always go jump at the chance to enter tournaments.
Right, of course, because of that issue.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Also, random note to earlier, America got Deoxys in June 2008, so that's an oversight on my part. But the event did have nothing to do with Steven, and I remember this because I admittedly hacked this into my Emerald. And I guess Maddie can confirm this because they mentioned the fact that there was an event where you went to one of the Sevii Islands, Birth Island, and did a little puzzle to get Deoxys. And I swear, I remember a triangle that you basically had to chase around the island that turned redder and redder as you got correct. And when you got correct, it turned like this bright red and Deoxys just popped out.
And I remember, I think I've heard that if you hack it into your game, if you get it wrong, it could hurt your game, I believe.
That's potentially true. I mean, the hacks were always very dangerous. So
But I would say that this was a very interesting gen. I think for me, I mean, of course you can hack in previous gens as well, but in this gen it felt a lot easier, and in that way it could be abused, I think.
Yeah, I mean, well, this gen is known for many different things. For me, one of them, as I always discuss, Pokemon music is a big thing for me. And this gen, although like heavy on things like trumpets and horns, I think if you liked the music when you played Gen 3, up to now, it stands against the music of remade games. And that's impressive because the music as latest as that is just from Game Boy Advance. And you can sit there and hear the themes and think, wow, that's a pretty good battle theme. You know, stuff like that. And
yes.
Gen 3 also introduced things that I've just alluded to earlier, double battles and abilities.
Yeah. Also, sadly, while it took out the day and night system, we do have things like dive. And a lot of other ways, you know, I mean, the fact that we can go under the sea was very interesting. Introducing more legendaries, you know, as if there's now a legendary tier, where it's just, that guy's legendary, but he's not that legendary. You know, he's not on the cover. You know, I mean, he's legendary. But, you know, I don't, maybe it's just me. We're talking about the legendary birds. Felt like, oh, yes, legendary birds. When you look at the Regis, and nothing against the Regis, but, you know, I think being someone from New York, I think I always thought of them as the Regises, so I always thought of them as just Regis. Yeah, so I'd always just thought, hey, I'm a rock, right? So I kind of just, that's what came into my mind. So for some reason, it's just not that they're, you know, bad or anything. I mean, hell, they have a god. But, you know, there's just a lot of legendary Pokemon in that game. I mean, you look at Groudon, Kyogre. If we're looking at Emerald, Groudon, Kyogre, the Regis, which are three, then there's Rayquaza, then there's Latios and Latias, then there is Deoxys and Jirachi. So there's a lot in this game. Also Mew, if you're looking at
Emerald. Yeah, I mean,
which is also funny.
If you had access to a Game Shark or Action Replay at the time, Emerald gave you access to so much stuff. And
you're lucky, because there's no other way to get them.
Yeah, I mean, for most of us who missed out on the events at the time, I mean, I being one of the people who missed out on any events for these things, like Mew, Deoxys, Jirachi, it was really important for me to get them because I was very completionist with my Emerald. I mean, I still have my Emerald cartridge, and in fact, there's a shit ton of shinies in there, but there's also, like, these Pokemon that I ended up having to hack to get because I missed whatever events that we had access to at the time. I mean, I wasn't even aware that they were available for people. So it was really significant for me to be able to get these somehow. And you notice these things. I mean, it's not like I just hacked them in terms of, like, putting them into my box. I hacked them to get the event. So you actually got to do what was intended to be done. So, you know, Mew,
yeah,
you get to chase
completely.
Mew around the island. You get to play with an annoying triangle for Deoxys Joy. But, like, you know, it just, I'm joking here, but there's a lot of charms about Gen 3 that I really appreciated. Also, a debate, I need to ask you this because this is something that I always like to mess with people.
Sure.
Did you believe that the male protagonist's character had a hat, or was that his hair?
You can shut your face, all right? Because you can shut your mouth hole, because guess what? All right, that kid, he had white hair. He saw a ghost. He was very frightened. Maybe he took something that aged him. Maybe he has Benjamin Button syndrome. But that boy, at the age of 10, he had white hair.
In retrospect, it seems to feel like you all should have agreed with me earlier, huh? But no, heated arguments with people over this where I'm like, it's a fucking hat. Why would he have white hair? It's a hat. Look at the art here. And I'm like going to the guidebook. Like, you can clearly see that is a hat. And just
people were. And then you were so furious. You're just like, you know, and also it's like everyone was like, oh, yeah, well, you know, you get Mew on an island called Guyana. It's not an island. Yeah, well, it's an island of the game.
Yeah, that also irritated me, by the way. It's like Mew's on a faraway island. And, you know, it's a reference to Guyana, but it's like, guys, Guyana's at the tip of South America. It's surrounded by countries.
Well, I'll be honest. We don't know what it was called in Japanese. We just know that they had to translate it as faraway island. Not saying that they're incorrect, but a lot in the Pokemon game is localized. And, of course, you know, in a game like this, you have to think of something that could fit text boxes. So, you know, I'm not, you know, so we don't know what the Japanese called it, but it is really funny that the name that we all know it as is Faraway Island.
I think to them it was Utmost Island. It was still island.
Fair enough. Okay.
Which, you know,
but, yes,
pisses me off.
Yeah. Hey, guess what you could also get if you were at events at the time? Not an event in the game, but like at actual Pokemon events. A shiny Celebi.
Go ahead, tell them about that, because shiny Celebi is locked now.
Oh, that is true. Well, shiny Celebi, I would argue, is locked because, I mean, I guess if you look at it, there's literally been no, it hasn't been given legally, other than, I guess, in this one case, but it must be tradable. Hmm?
It was given with Pokebank.
That's what I'm saying. So it was, but, I mean, it's locked in the sense that, I guess, you know, because there aren't a lot of ways to legally, you know, obtain it. And,
no, that,
you know, I mean, you look at this gen, and there is no way you could have in any way caught it in the wild at all. So, you know, there's no way you could have even found it at all, shiny at all, apparently. The only, you know, it's only in there because of the idea that if there isn't a shiny for every single Pokemon in the game, the data will crash. Because
Correct. There
is, you know, the game tries to read all, you know, throughout all the shinies, like, oh, there's only the possibility of getting so-and-so. And if there is no, you know, opposite there, the game just crashes. But, which is crazy, by the way. When you think about it, you're like, wow, like, you know, there are Pokemon in there that they had to sit there and just, you know, touch up that will never be seen.
Well, they can be, you know, with the benefit of certain technology for Gen 6. But
fair enough, I guess. I'm not there. But my question to you is, do you know about Altering Cave and the many secrets that are inside of this cave?
Yeah, I mean, Altering Cave was a really interesting piece of Emerald specifically, because it did pop up in Emerald. And it would the Pokemon inside would change, if I remember correctly.
Yes. Well, here's the thing. Normally, right, only Zubat can be found there. But, you know, there are other wild Pokemon that can be found, you know, if they're like the mystery gift is at something called, it's a Wonder Spot. It's like an official Nintendo thing. But, however, it says, despite this, no such event has been held in any country. So the Pokemon that were supposed to be found were Mareep, Aipom, Pinico, Shuckle, Teddiursa, Houndour, Stantler, and Smeargle. And people are assuming that the plan was probably scrapped because you could get them, you know, by trading with Pokemon Coliseum, let's say. Or, you know, Pokemon XD Gale of Darkness, or it could be found in the Emerald Extended Area of the Safari Zone.
Yeah.
Smeargle, who we found.
Yeah, outside of Smeargle, the idea seemed to have been scrapped because, in my opinion, it's the Hoenn Safari Zone.
Yeah,
because
which is just
the Hoenn Safari Zone extension, with some people, you know, are aware of, it was for Johto Pokemon. And that was a cool thing for me.
Yes. Let's see what else is there. Some other cool stuff. Oh, something really funny, right? Which, you know, and I'm sure a lot of people raged, you know, over this at the time with the minimal internet there was at the time. But apparently the Japanese Emerald had an audio issue. So in the beginning, you know, at the very beginning of the game, there's a moving Vigoroth, right?
Correct.
However, its cry isn't Vigoroth's cry. It's Machoke's cry. Why? Because, and it was fixed in our release, so we didn't see this. Why? Because it was changed, you know, the Pokemon sprite, you know, after the overworld thing, was changed from Machoke's in Ruby and Sapphire, where it played their sound. So in other words, they changed the picture, but somewhere down the line they forgot to change the cry.
That amuses me.
Yes, especially because, again, it came out in Japan, which, again, I'm sure many people, we would have raged. Many people raged at the time on message boards, just, can you believe this? And they own the game.
Yeah, you're referring to the moving, right?
Yes.
Yeah, because I remember the shift in Pokemon, because it was Machoke in Ruby and Sapphire, I believe. And then so in Emerald, it's like, Vigoroth, why? Because localization. We're going to take local Pokemon workers. Screw those Kanto Pokemon. And it was just an amusing amusing thing for me, because I remember I did play through, you know, the openings in Sapphire and stuff, so it was just a matter of like, hey, those are Hoenn Pokemon. I see what you people are trying to do. And I was a big fan of, like, the little nuances of Gen 3, where it's like, hey, not only do you have a father, because that is not a theme that is consistent in Pokemon, which is eerily, you know, eerie. I'm going to say eerie. It just makes me worry.
Why do you have a dad? What does he do? Who has he killed?
Yeah, and so then you look at Gen 3, and it's like, not only do you have a relevant father, he's the gym leader of the fifth gym. And of course, this gym is accessible to you because you live near to it. But it's like, no, you don't get to come here yet. You can't fight me yet, son. Ha-ha. Good try, though. Or daughter, because, of course, May is also available to be, you know, Brendan and May were the chosen protagonists for this game. Although, I want to apologize to anybody who played through as the female character, May, because Brendan is a dick. And I can attest, Brendan just... Not that, like, it's, like, over the top where it's like, oh, my God, this shouldn't be in a children's game. But his lines are much more, like, aggressive and asshole-y than May, who is extremely, extremely kind. Because, like, I think May is very helpful to you throughout the entire game. While, like, I think the first thing Brendan says to the female protagonist is, like, wow, thought you were a dude.
What?
Or something along those lines. I'm not fucking with you, Matt.
Hey, I thought you were a dude. It's just you know, it's like, I thought you were a dude, but now I noticed that you're a really hot chick. May, you're May? Are you trying to hit on me?
It's like,
nah,
no,
baby.
It's like, I think he also has, like, a line in front of, like, the department store in, like, Lily Cove or something where he's just, like, basically, like, fuck you, and it's funny. So he's apparently a dick character, and...
That's terrible.
I mean, for me, I appreciate dick rivals. Like, I really love the, you know, and this is misuse of my nickname, but, you know, the rival Silver in the Gold, Silver, and Crystal series.
He was
because
fun.
Something about the rival being just a piece of shit made me want to beat them more. And, you know, because in Gen 6, they're so nice to me where I feel bad every time I wipe the floor with them. Where I just want to be like, do we really have to do this? You know how this is going to end. You have 2 Pokemon. I have 6 that are 30 levels higher. I'm sorry. You know, and then in the older games, you look back and Silver.
I guess I
and
didn't
I'm
train
like,
hard
fuck.
Enough, Silver.
Yeah.
Oh,
it's
darn,
like,
that's on
it's
me.
Like, no, I feel bad. You know, whereas in, like, Silver and, like, with Gary. Here we go.
Know you
yeah.
later.
By the way, Maddie's now giving me the exact line from the game, which is, you're the gym leader's kid, so I assumed you'd be a guy. There we go. That's what
huh.
it is.
What
yeah, like, Brendan
shit.
Had, like, dick lines, and they were so sexist, and, like, it was so wrong. And it's funny, because I had no idea, because I played through the game as Brendan. And,
yeah,
you know,
of course.
You know, so I did
you
my
know,
thing,
I,
and
of
May
course,
was,
then,
like,
you know, like, I can see why you know, you would.
Yeah,
I
you know, I naturally
well,
play with the male characters because I identify as a male. So I'm like, hey, why not? You know, pick the dude. So I knew May as, like, this really nice rival. And that was weird for me in itself, where I was like, you know, May's kind of competitive because she's like, you know, let's battle. And she comes out of nowhere and battles me. And I'm like, oh, fuck you, which is cool. But, like, she was okay. Like, I was fine with her as a rival. By the time we got to Gen 6, I mean, I'm so pissed that they're nice. Because I really miss Gary being a complete douche. Where it was just some, well, I don't, was it Gary in Red and Blue? It was technically Gary, right? Or Blue?
Yes, no, it was still Gary, yes.
Yeah, it was Blue. So, I mean, for me in my head, it's Gary, because, you know, Pokemon Yellow was the adaptation of the anime. So in my head, it's not Blue,
yeah.
it's Gary. And so Gary was a douche, and you wanted to just look at Gary, and it's like, I'm going to kick your ass, man. I don't care what the hell.
You know what you know what I hated about him the most? And I know we could have brought this up in Yellow. We'll bring it up again in Fire Red, basically. But this is what I hate about him the most. Gary always got to the gym before you did.
Oh, I hated that because as a kid, I tried to rationalize why he was doing that. Where I was like, damn it, I went to the Pokemon Center. Gary just got to another gym. I'm a weakling. Like, in my own head, because I couldn't conceivably think how Gary
so
got
sorry.
To every gym before me.
I'm so sorry,
I was like,
man.
I breezed through this. I'm kicking ass. Certified trainers. Gary. Fuck! How?
Yeah.
And it's like, and then I kicked his ass in battle. How is he ahead of me?
It's okay.
But, like, you know, so with May, I mean, I actually really do think May was one of the, like, the cooler rivals because she was a nice balance of being polite and helpful.
She was.
But also, because
yeah.
they tuned in this rival thing as, like, being your friend as well in Gen 3 because she gives you things. I mean, if I remember correctly, she gives you HM2 Fly right out of Fortree City, right outside of Fortree City. Fortree City brings back horrible memories for me, Matt. But,
why?
Outside of Fortree City is where you adventure to find the legendary and, you know, hard-to-find Feebas. And they got really giddy with how you found Feebas because you got to change the phrase in Dewford to, like, switch up the tiles. But it was, like, some ridiculous percentage. And I don't know the numbers, so thank God that Maddie's around who can give me these exact numbers. But it was like 10 tiles out of like thousands that you could find Feebas on. And not only that, it wasn't a guarantee that you would find Feebas even if you found that tile.
I don't even remember how I got Feebas. I just remember that I was never able to evolve it, and I felt really upset because of that. Because
yeah,
just
you
had
need
this
to
right
max
idea.
Out its beauty.
Yeah, I mean, it'll probably work better in, you know, Omega Ruby and Alpha Sapphire.
There are alternate
ways
to evolve a Feebas now. Like, one of them is called the Prism Scale, which was put in evolve. Yeah, it was an item put in specifically to evolve Feebas when they realized how is everyone going to evolve V-Bass when we don't count beauty anymore? So,
well, you know, in this game, it would be, you know, they could even remove the prism scale thing because, I don't know, something about this game, I feel like it will have, you know, things won't die out. You know, it won't be an issue of, I made its beauty go up now, do I have to raise it? Or, like, what's going on here? No, max it out a level. I just did. I made it go to the next level. What do I do now? I don't know, Matt. I don't know. But that's how it felt after a while. So I kind of just sat there and went, okay. So I think in this game, you know, the fact that it will be a 3DS game, it'll be a lot easier to evolve a V-Bass, even if it's just based on beauty alone.
Yeah, but, I mean, that was one of the more ridiculous things of Gen 3. Also with, you know, the outlandish means of getting the Regis to be available to you.
Oh, dear. Oh, my God. Well, the Relicanth and Wailord you mentioned, which it jogged my memory. I believe it was last week or the week before. It jogged my memory, and I got so angry. But I got – it's angry and happy. You know, where – but I think you mentioned it has something to do with the Japanese –
And then they also tried to fuck with you because they put instructions on how to unlock each specific Regi cage in Braille. Braille! Like, it's not even like that was a joke. If you translated the Braille, it told you what to do. But it was just a matter of in fucking Braille. Not even Japanese.
Yeah,
Braille.
Or at least some other language. Yeah, it's kind of, it's funny because it's like a Gravity Falls type situation, but, you know, like all the kids now that are just too young to get all the little stuff, that's how we were at the time.
Braille!
Also, the fact that, you know, I would argue because of the year that it came out, the internet, while still being the internet, wasn't like it is today. You know, today, which, by the way, is another interesting thing, not that we're talking about Omega Ruby and Alpha Sapphire so soon, but it's interesting to have the idea in your head that now they're going to have to reintroduce that and possibly change it up and make it even harder, if you will, because the way the internet is nowadays, you know, I mean, you see how easily it is to have people crack these ciphers and these codes in Gravity Falls. So now you have to see, you know, what might happen in the newer game because, you know, you think about back then and, yeah, I mean, it was a lot harder, I feel, to crack and then get the information out there. But yeah, okay, that's what it was because it was Braille. Because to me it just made no sense. So there's a lot of situations where, you know, it's just, which happened in, in Gen 4 with Evolutions, where it's just, are you training Magneton? Well, I mean, yeah, he's in my party for some odd reason. I'm a really big Magneton fan. Like, you know, I love him to death. Also, are you training him in this cave? No, why should I? Oh, my God! You know, it felt like that, but at least it's not like that. There's, you know, it's, there's Braille. So people can, you know, translate that, and we could use that. Another thing added to this gen is weather. You know, they took out the day and night system in terms of how, you know, it changes from day to night, which was weird to me. But they have weather, which is really nice. I think it's a really cool addition. I like that they have it. And there's even unused weather. I don't know if you know this, but apparently there seems to be snowflakes that were unused. Which is really cool, I think, because I don't know where they'd be used. I don't know if it would be a seasonal thing, you know, outside the game, but you know, maybe that's why it became hard to be like, oh, where do we use these? I mean, what town is it, you know, constantly snowing or something? But yeah, it's just really cool where, you know.
There was even a weather institute and then a weather Pokemon. And although Castform is not that useful competitively, I always thought it was one of the cooler Pokemon they had made because the goddamn thing transitioned with the weather. I mean, it's kind of cool.
Yeah, so I know something inside me made me, you know, I love Ditto, so something inside me made me feel weird, but I would like to say that I do, and, you know, again, you know, my first experience with, you know, with Ruby, Sapphire, and Emerald was not a good one, but over time, I really do enjoy it. I really do, and I enjoy Castform because, yeah, like you mentioned, he's really cool, but I think at first I was like, oh, look at him being Castform, and then all of a sudden, like you mentioned, changes with the weather, and I thought, ooh, that's really freaking cool.
Yeah, and the Weather Institute was, you know, right outside Fortree, and right between Fortree and the Weather Institute was the dreaded water where you would try to catch V-Bass.
Yes.
And reporting in on that is our fact checker noting that the odds are 1.6% to catch a V-Bass fishing once per tile. So
I don't know how I caught two.
You, there are six spots on 436 tiles. So, and the catch rate of Feebas is only 33% anyway. It was just, it was a fucking adventure. And this, in the same game, that you needed a Wailorth and Relicanth to even unlock the freaking Regis, who even when you unlocked their caves, you had to, like, move two tiles and use Fly, or move 12 spaces and use Strength, or, like, move this place and use Flash. And it was just like, not only did someone have to figure out the freaking ridiculous Wailorth-Relicanth idea, and Relicanth was not an easy get, by the way. Not only did you have to figure that shit out, but once you got there, you had to go to the caves and figure the next level shit out. And it's just like, I love you, game. But what the hell, actual fuck? That being said, you know, I assume that now, since time has passed, that it's going to be the same thing in this gen. And we're all just going to be like, yeah, I remember that. And of course, there'll probably be some mention of Regigigas, because, of course, the King of the Regis was announced in Gen 4, and he'll probably have some kind of mention in these games, because
that will
why
be
not?
Fun. You know, that's the thing. They can literally make, another set of, like, islands or something like that, because there are so many, you know, many cool things that can be in this game that they can give to us based on what's been in the, you know, the older games. Where they don't just have to say, hey, let's just give them a Mew or something. It's, oh, we have Faraway Island. Let's actually kind of ramp that up and make it a bigger thing.
Yeah, and, you know, one of the things we haven't even touched on that's going to be a big thing in this remake are secret bases.
Right. Which, you know, I mean, yeah, I mean, you look at the original secret bases, and I enjoyed them, although I didn't enjoy the fact that were you only able to have one secret base at once? For some reason, that's appearing
that's
in
correct.
My head. Yeah, that was an issue for me. But now, with the, you know, having only one secret base at once in these new remakes is okay because of the extensive, you know, ness that is involved in making your base.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you were able to, like, break into indents and walls and vines hanging out from trees and stuff like that. And, you know, it's going to be overdone, reworked for this new remake, which is going to be incredible. But secret bases, I thought, were revolutionary. I mean, just the idea of, like, you can make a base in a tree. And they really promoted, like, communication, because the bases could be, you know, you could mix records so somebody would show up in their bases on your map. You could make Pokeblocks together in terms of getting ready for contests together. Contests were a big thing that are coming back in this generation.
I love contests.
You know, completely work to be, you know, working with the capabilities of the 3DS, which promises to be very impressive. And, and you've got all these ridiculous amount of Pokemon available in, you know, Ho-Oh, Lugia, Rayquaza, and Groudon, and Kyogre. We already know that Rayquaza is getting a Mega Form. Groudon and Kyogre are getting, you know, Primal Forms, and that's going to add to the story of what's going on. And it's just, there's a lot. And, you know, it's a cool Elite Four. The Elite Four theme for Gen 3 actually stands as my favorite Elite Four theme to date. And it's cool. I mean, I want to see what they do with it, because there's just so much. Gen 3 encompassed a lot, and that's because it was this big step onto Game Boy Advance. And the Battle Frontier, which was included in Emerald, was like my lifeblood. That was what sold the game for me. You know, these facilities were incredible, because, and I'll tell you why I think one of them is so cool, Matt, you know, because you could hack Pokemon into the game, right?
Right.
And still struggle with the facilities. Because
that, I like that a lot.
They were not all the battle tower was based on just battling. And of course, people abused the battle tower for cloning glitches. But the battle tower was used for, you know, like battle, like, you know, like, hey, regular consecutive battles, right? But the other six institutes were very, very creative in what they needed to do. I mean, one of them, the Battle Pyramid, I think to this day I still don't have the gold symbol, which is essentially like a scavenge hunt through a floor of extremely powerful Pokemon in the dark with trainers. And you've got the Battle Pike, which is supposedly the easiest one, the luck symbol, where you scan through, you know, each time you step into an area, there's three rooms. And you get a hint on one of the rooms, but you could run into powerful trainers, you could run to people who paralyze or give or poison or put your Pokemon to sleep. Or, you know, it's just these kind of, it was, that one was creative. The Battle Dome was an actual battle system, but it was a tournament-based one. And you would pick, like, three out of, like, your four Pokemon or two out of your three to go into fight with or something. It was just, like, you know, they made it creative where even if you hacked Pokemon in and had super-powered stuff, you could still struggle because of the fact that they made you work in the Battle Frontier, and I loved that. I absolutely loved it. I welcomed the challenge and thought it was so much fun.
Yeah. I mean, I can understand. You know, personally, I'm not into, you know, battling competitively, but I can understand the idea of, wow, this is something I enjoy, and the game encourages me to do it. You know, it's not telling me, you know, it's not just saying, like, yeah, look, kids are going to play this, so let's kind of talk down to them with everything we do. Like, no, it's just, hey, listen, kids are going to play this. But we're definitely going to have some people that wanted to play this from, you know, that have been playing this from the beginning. So let's give them something like, you know, this battle tower, which we did have something like that in Crystal, but just expanding on it. And also, you didn't really have Crystal. So for you, that was missing for you.
Yeah, so and the battle tower was existent in Ruby and Sapphire, but then they just expanded into this whole fucking frontier. And I just thought that was sick because I'm sitting here like, it's new gym leaders, and you don't even get to beat them once because you have silver and gold symbols. So, you know, idealistically, that's like 14 new badges alongside of the 8 in the region, one of them which was a double battle, which was fun, which was a nice, you know, jump into, like, you're fighting twins, alongside with everything else. I mean, it was just, there was so much to like about what they did in Gen 3 that it upsets me when I think that people tell me they didn't like it. Because, you know, my favorite Pokemon, Absol, comes from this generation. And I'm biased towards Emerald because of how fond I am of it. But it's just hard for me to believe that people didn't enjoy everything they needed to do. I mean, you had the mix and bicycles for the first time, too.
You know,
the Mach and Acrobike.
Yes. You know, I would say that I think people's problem with it was my original problem with it, where when I don't know if it's an American thing, but it might be. The idea that I think here we're conditioned to, you know, to only see something once, maybe twice, and then say, okay, we're done, which is why it's very interesting to me that Power Rangers has flourished, where in Japan it's been going on 70s. We've had it here since 1993, and you notice, though, that even though it's still flourishing, people will still say, Power Rangers, that's still on, you know, and we don't stick with things. You know, we consider the first one amazing, the second one can still be good, too. In this case, you know, Crystal was amazing, you know, that second gen was great, and all of a sudden, you know, the third one comes up, and it's all, well, you know, it doesn't do this, and it's not this, and this is new to me, this is so strange, this is so different, this is weird, you know, and we don't accept it. And you know, and it's just so different to us, and it's upsetting because, yeah, I would say that was me at first a bit. But of course, I've really grown to like this gen, and I'm playing Emerald again, and I'm playing Sapphire again in preparation for not playing Ruby again because I have a lot saved in my Ruby that I don't want to delete, and playing them in preparation for the new games coming up, which you can pre-order through our site if you need to. If you have not yet, those guys on the radio at tumblr.com, you go to our merchandise page and go to our Pokemon page, and then
it would be great, you know, because I'm actually resisting replaying Emerald on my phone as a ROM because of the fact that, you know, the remake is coming out a little bit over a month now. It's about a month and a week. Mm. But, you know, I'm resisting the urge because I want to remember, you know, with my memory being as bad as it is, you know, just to be frank, I don't remember specific details. And I want to be able to play through this and kind of recapture some of the amazement that I had with this game when I was younger. Because I know that I really appreciated it.
For me, of course my memory is bad as well, but I want to enjoy it in a way where I can go, this is how they changed it, and I love it.
Yeah, one of the things that's going to stand out, of course, in the remake is graphically, Emerald was cool graphically because of the fact that, Ruby and Sapphire especially, rather, being on the Game Boy Advance, you know, they had the liberty to just do some stuff they couldn't before, and it was cool. And now we're on the 3DS. We're not even on just the DS anymore. We're on Diamond and Pearl, but the 3DS, I mean, they're going to blow it out of the water. So it just promises to be something special. And for me, it's based on a gem that I think, you know, provided a lot to people, a solid story, solid Pokemon in terms of what they contributed. They contributed abilities. They contributed natures. there was the shift between special attack, you know, special defense in terms of what moves were shifted off as to what was special, what was physical. A lot. I mean, in a way, Gen 3 was also the birth of competitive battling for me. And not
I would argue that as well.
I mean, abilities and natures changed things a lot, because natures I didn't even understand until years later, where I was just like, all right, so my Pokemon's adamant.
Yeah. Speaking of abilities, there's two secret things in regards to abilities. One, backstage behind the scenes stuff, one being that there's actually coding for a lack of ability. So obviously I'm sure this was used in case anyone were, you know, a piece of shit, and they would try to crash the game by, you know, changing and not giving someone an ability by going, well, they don't have one, let's see what the game does now. So in case that happened, or just as a way of, you know, when they were testing the game out themselves, they have something that, you know, that was in Japanese that, in once translated, just says, no special ability. So in any case, of course, never do the actual gameplay, but if someone were to use Game Shark or something like that to try and be, you know, a jerk, and feel like, haha, well, you know, what's this going to do? Well, I'll just tell you, no special ability. And also there's something called Cacophony, which is not assigned to any Pokemon in the final game. And it is an ability that's kind of is similar to Soundproof.
Mm-hmm.
So we assume that this was meant to be, you know, an ability for Whismur, Loudred, and Exploud. However, you know, I guess maybe they thought, oh, well, I mean, you know, there's, you know, some of these, some of these are redundant. So they just didn't really put it in.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, and Gen 3 had its fair share of glitches as well, based on people trying to hack and figure out the game and shit. Of course, the cloning glitch in Emerald in the Battle Tower, the most famed of Gen 3, I would argue, because of the fact that you could clone Pokemon for shit's sake. You know, and not only could you clone one, you could clone up to like five at a time if you did the glitch correctly. And this cloned items.
Yeah. Which is crazy. So you would have six Master Balls.
Mm-hmm. It was just a matter of, you know, rare candies, Master Balls, vitamins in terms of protein, iron, calcium, all that kind of stuff.
Right.
It was very, very incredible what people were able to do with that glitch. And, you know, it led to the spawn of a lot of clone Pokemon in terms of someone has one shiny, they're going to clone it. And, you know, these glitches were exploited even by people like me, of course, who were eventually able to send some of these legitimate Pokemon into later games. And, you know, it was a big thing. And the coming from Emerald and Gen 3, I believe this might have been Emerald only, was the Pome glitch, which allowed you to have negative 65,000 HP, which is only significant because of something I've mentioned on a podcast before, which, you know, if you use in the right situation, you could end up training an egg.
Which is nuts. I mean, you know, and I think what's even crazier, not only, you know, the idea of training an egg, the idea that this is all legitimate and that, you know, someone somehow... you know, it's all about math. You know, one of my kids right now, you know, is doing a speech on math. I'm a speech and debate coach for anyone who's new listening. Hello, new listeners. So one of my kids is doing, you know, a speech on math, and it really kind of drives the point home, something like this, where you could say, you know, it's like, hey, all video games are made of math. And people are just like, yeah, we know. We know. Like, no, you don't know. You can train an egg because of the right calculations that someone did, where it's just, you know, if you put that right there, by doing that right there, mathematically, this will happen. It happens. But what does that mean mathematically? It's just a glitch. You can train the egg. Like,
mm-hmm.
That's nuts. Like, I'm speechless. Like, it's crazy that that's...
No, I know. It was one of my favorite... I thought it was one of the most incredible glitches that had always come out of these games. And it just, you think about the idea of the training an egg. I mean, you got to be really fucking dedicated to be training this egg, I have to be honest with you. But, like, man, there's also, I mean, there were little glitches in Ruby and Sapphire, too. I mean, if you sold something, like, in multiples of 256, the player would lose some money. Because
that's hilarious.
Every time, like, for every 256, the total price is counted is, like, less or zero or something because of a glitch in coding.
I find that
you can only do that with like berries.
Right.
But because you can only hold more than like 100 of berries, I think you can hold up to like 999 of a berry. But they fix that in later games because you could just only sell 99 of an item.
Right. Good, good, good. But yeah, that is pretty funny in a way where it's just, you know, it feels like you're giving older video games to GameStop. At the end of the day, you end up losing money.
Yeah. No. I mean, those were the significant glitches out of it. There were some little graphical stuff that were dorky where it was like, hey, you can't walk here even though there's no rock here. It's like you're blocked by an invisible rock.
Oh, yeah, I noticed that a lot it's the idea that, you know, and I know this is kind of a thing with RPG Maker, where the square, right, if you put in the square the wrong way, let's say, you know, the tile, it'll be like, oh, it's a fence, but there's also grass on the fence, near the fence. So you're sitting there and you're like, really, I can't walk here? Nope, you can't walk right up to the fence. You can walk a bit close to the fence. You wouldn't want to, you know, ruin the fence. It's like you have to just go throughout the game going, every fence was just painted. I don't want to get too close to the paint. My mother can't be these close. You know, like you have to kind of have that feeling to it, because it's just sometimes, yeah, there's like just, I can't get too close for some reason.
Mm-hmm.
But so some unused stuff, which I always love unused stuff. There's unused music. You know, it was unused music in Ruby and Sapphire. Right, and Emerald also contains the entire soundtrack from Fire Red and Leaf Green. Although only a few of the tracks, you know, from that soundtrack are used in Emerald, so it's just very interesting. Where it's just dump them all in there. Which ones are we going to use? Doesn't matter right now. Just dump them all in there. We'll find out later. You know, I mean, it takes up space. That's the thing where I find it interesting. Where it takes up space on the little cartridge. It's kind of, you know, it's interesting to me, where it's just like, we just put it in there, what'd you do with it? But it's there if someone cares, you know, to look at it. Another unused thing is an unused map. Apparently, on the Pokemon Festa 2002, there was a little, like, demo version available, and that map is still in there. The events are all gone, where, you know, they would, like, say things, whatever. But from the looks of it, it looks like the petal shop on Route 104. But it's just pretty cool. I was just like, you know, again, there was like a little tiny demo, and while you can't battle or anything if you would have a demo, it's still just there. Where like you can access the map and just be like, you are now in the flower shop of doom. How do I get out of here? Feed me, Seymour. Oh God. Oh, I'm gonna die. Feed me. But also, apparently you can go inside the truck again. Well, not really, but you can find out the location of the truck. So apparently your character put a homing device on the truck, and through some kind of hacking process, I assume with game trucks and things like that, you can find the location of the truck. It's actually between Route 15 and 114.
Yeah, well, what's funny is because of the fact that your first time you're allowed to save the game is inside of that truck, which...
Right.
Means that the game must have a saved location for inside truck.
Right.
Or else
so,
it would just save you in Little Root Town.
Right, they can't do that because then you wouldn't have the truck there and that would end up clashing
Bingo.
With the fact that your mother has, you know, a script.
Yeah, just
so,
like,
yeah.
Hey, we're moving here. Let's get the boxes from the truck. What truck, mother?
Yes. The mother throws out a smoke bomb. You know too much. Did you know that at one point we could have been able to trade with gold and silver?
There was talk about it. Because
it's not just talk anymore. Because there was leftover text from the time capsule. Well, it would have been the time capsule.
No, I mean, like, there was talk for them about it. But it just...
Right.
It sucks because it is hard. I mean, yeah, Game Boy Advance to Game Boy Color. But the...
I'm sure that's why it was scratched.
Yeah, that's why. But, I mean, it broke the chain in connection, whereas to, like, that's as far back as we go for Pokemon. You know, you go as far up to Crystal, and then you have your Game Boy Advance games, which, and if you really work hard at it, any Pokemon in Emerald, or even Ruby and Sapphire, can make their way all the way up to XY. This is proven by the fact that my Mew from Emerald now resides in my Pokemon Y.
His legitimate shiny Mew. Tell them what you did to get this, Satish.
I don't need them to know that I didn't have a, like, a... I soft reset the game, like, about 20,000 times until the Mew was shiny.
According to Satish, and this is his own estimate, so it's probably a guesstimate, 5 days. It took some dedication. Like, that is something, it's just really, I love that it's something that I feel like I would do as well in my young age. You know, where it's just, you know, that feeling of, I beat a Pokemon game in 2 days. What about now, Matt? I got stuff to do, you know. Well, like what? Well, like I have a thing at the place, you know, man. I'm procrastinating it at my hobbies. Like that's a huge issue, you know. It's like I can't, you know. It's really hard to sit there.
Yeah,
and
I mean,
just
it's not like
while.
I didn't eat or sleep or something, but it was a task that.
No, I understand.
That years down the line, it seems worth it now. I have to be honest.
Yeah, no, I understand. Because, again, you had to hack in the sense that you had to get to Mew. But, you know, you are not a man to just hack just for the simple fact of, you know, oh, yeah, this is fun, you know?
Yeah, because
so
I
like,
thought
no, like,
that,
yeah.
And also, this the shiny hacking in Emerald was incomplete, where if you hack something to be shiny, or at least on the device that I was using,
mm-hmm.
the name would come up as a forced bunch of symbols. And
yes.
it basically would define the Pokemon as not real. So,
well, no. What would happen is, okay, so from what I've heard, you are able to change its nickname, right? And that could help in the sense that it wouldn't be, you know, with all the symbols. However, an issue is that they would always be male. So if you were into breeding, let's say, and I believe, if I'm correct, you mentioned how breeding two shinies together, it ends up, you know, increasing the chance of having a shiny. You'd only have males. So it's kind of funny, where it's just, like, I'm pretty sure that they can be defined as real, but at the same, you know, but of course you do have to take them to, you know, a nickname changer guy, and be like, hey, could you change this to something that's not really illegal?
I have nothing from that game that I think, because we tested out the shiny code, and I have nothing that I think we tried the shiny code on, because I was so scared when I caught it. That I just immediately released it.
Well, no, I understand. I would never send it up into Diamond. I think I tried once and I got nervous because, you know, I also wanted to test it out myself. So I think I sent it up without the name change thing. You know, because you get Pokemon at the beginning of the game, just like in any game, before you meet the name changer people, man in this case. So yeah, I sent it up and then I got nervous and I released it. So I would never send it up without changing its name first. For some reason, I find that more comforting because it was random symbols in the old game. I sent it up to my Diamond, and some of the symbols were Japanese. So immediately I was scared, not because of Japanese, but because the game is just like, yeah, I kind of know what this is. I mean, I'm trying hard here. You know, it's like, oh, what am I doing to the game? You're not doing, why did you stutter? You know, so it's like, I immediately just released them out of, you know, being frightened. But
right.
I'm pretty sure if you changed the name, and again, even if you didn't change the name, I'm sure it wouldn't do anything to your game. It would just, of course, you know, if you're training them through, they would just be like, hold on, there's something wrong here. What's the problem, officer? Something does not seem right here, you know? But yeah, so I still think it's very interesting that there's, you know, that leftover text from the time capsule, upset over the fact that, you know, we couldn't trade from that gen, because I understand why, you know, I mean, the difference is graphically. But it would have been really cool. It's really sad that a lot of the people who got event Pokemon at the time are dealing with something that, you know, will die. Where, like, you look at Diamond Blitz, I mean, it is really smart that they thought, you know, all right, let's kind of, you know, give people the chance to, you know, put the Pokemon in Diamond. Because if they made that, you know, that it's not a mistake necessarily, but if they did that twice, that would have been a huge issue. I mean, thankfully now we're getting these remakes so that, you know, no one has to put in the huge amount of effort to get them from the, you know,
mm-hmm.
Gen 3. But it's still the idea of imagine, you know, oh, you can, you know, you can, because the Gen 1 and Gen 2, it was just, oh, you can trade between gens, Gen 3, you can trade between each other, different games until Gen 3, and then Gen 4, yeah, no, you can't even put them in there. Don't even try. You know, that would have been really rough. So I'm happy that they let that happen. Then I'm happy that you can go from Diamond to Heart Gold Soul Silver. Then you can go to Black. And then from Black, you can go to X and Y, or is it Heart Gold Soul Silver Black 2? And then
It's slow. It's a one-by-one. You know, once you get something into Black or Black 2, you can upload it into PokéBank.
Oh, nice. So you can still do like black or Black 2 into PokéBank, which then can help you with X.
Correct.
Okay, that's perfect.
Well, PokéTransporter, because you can transport, you know, a box, basically your first box in Black or Black 2 can be transported, that one box, to the PokéBank, which you can then access with your X or Y, move that box away and stuff like that. So it's one box at a time, but it's not impossible. That's 30 Pokemon. And, you know, it's just something that it helps because you can get things into Black and White. It's a process, but it's not.
But I don't think it's that difficult compared to what it could have been.
If you care, you'll do it. And,
I enjoy it.
It is not easy, and for many people, it's not fun. I understand.
Fair enough. I mean, I don't know. I'm a man who is okay with tedious work, so long as it's rewarding in the sense that, you know, I can get Pokemon from my original Fire Red that I really enjoy and I love, and bring them all the way up to, you know, the newer games. That to me is fun.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, you know, there's also unused warp ports. That I've noticed. There's one in Slateport City that actually takes you into the harbor, but it would if it was used, but it's unused. Strange.
Yeah, you could use the harbor to actually travel around in Emerald in terms of... I mean, you could still use the Ruby Sapphire, if I remember correctly, right? You could just use it to transfer between two cities, Lily Cove and Slateport, or something of that nature?
I believe so. I remember, yes. Yes,
it may just be an Emerald thing. I don't know, because this is, you know, where the extent of my memory stops. Because I do remember one of the things they had different about some of those towns is that they had battle tents, which were basically like the Battle Frontier light. Like, they were little things that emulated what the Battle Frontier would be like without actually being the Battle Frontier. That was an Emerald.
Right.
And, you know, they also incorporated the idea of, like, random double battles, where not just two people standing together, but any two people looking at you at the same time would then start a double battle with you, which I thought was one of the cooler features that they added in.
I'm sorry, for somebody that didn't catch that, you're referring to Emerald or Diamond?
Emerald.
Really? I do not remember that happening in Emerald.
So what would happen is that, like, let's say a hiker and, like, a last looked at you at the same time, they would immediately become an impromptu tag team against you.
That's awesome. Also, I want to like to note, if anyone heard a cat in this cat is very hyped about Pokemon Emerald. It has not been quiet all night. I mean, she is just in love with the idea of Pokemon Emerald.
There were cats in Pokemon
honest.
Emerald.
She's in love with this game and with this gen. I don't know if you hear it, but I mean, it just...
I think you're worried too much. I don't think any of us have heard it.
Well, I wish you have, because I'm constantly hearing her. Just proclaiming her love for this gen. So some other hidden things, by the way. Just getting back to the idea of cool hidden stuff. Apparently there's an unused Pokemon, there's like an unknown kind of placeholder where, like, you know, the question mark. Apparently, there's an unused one that is very two crudely drawn white question marks, as if it's just, we don't really care. We're the new one, the new kind of question mark.
I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, right? It just looks so like, well, I mean, you know, we took about a minute to do this. And then you know the one now, I think it's just it looks pretty, I think, just compared to it looks so clean compared to the other one, which was just, hey, look, here are blocks, which makes me think maybe this was, you know, going to be used in their heads when it was a, you know, like a, what's it called, an earlier gen, where, you know, because we don't know, I mean, of course, they were making this the Game Boy Advance, but, you know, there are a lot of stages of development where they could have went, oh, we could do this now, oh, we can do that now, and things like that, so they could have started off with something like that and then went, wait, we can make it cleaner, you know, this isn't Gen 2 anymore.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that would have, you know, looking at the design, it would have flown in Gen 2. But yeah. Also, apparently, there's something called the Sand Ornament Glitch. Ah, darn it, Japanese version glitch. But anyway, in Secret Base, it's possible to create a hole where a poster originally was with a sand ornament and either a one-tile or three-tile poster, right? So if you place a sand ornament against the wall, then collapse it by pressing A, after collapsing it, right, if you put a one-tile or three-tile poster behind that crumbled sand thing, and then you leave the base, and then you return, this will cause the sand ornament to reappear, but with the poster behind it, right? And placing a poster behind the uncollapsed sand ornament is usually impossible. So if you collapse it again, the hole will reappear, right? Well, you know, on the tile where the top of the sand ornament was. Hmm. So in other words, it's in a way, think of it like the idea of, you know, back in the day when it was just, we cut the tree, and then I saved in it. And now it's here. So that's interesting. Apparently, also in the Japanese version, if you continuously do bunny hops in a patch of grass, it could cause the game to freeze after a wild battle.
Well, in the American ones, if you used Thunder or Thunderbolt with the animation on, there was a chance it could freeze your game and you'd permanently be hearing the Thunder or Thunderbolt noise. Can't confirm, but I think that was a thing for us.
Well, I'm confused. What do you mean? What animation on?
Well, you can choose to play with the move animation on or off. So you can like, you know, the thunder, the flamethrower, the tackles and stuff like that. Or you can choose for that to be skipped. And if you play with it on, which is the default setting and what most people do play with, you had a chance of having thunder freeze your game. And I'm going to have to actually ask Maddie to check that one for me. But I think that was a thing where thunder could actually bust up your game.
That is frightening.
Yeah, but it was a one-time thing. Like, but, you know, if you hadn't saved or something.
Yeah. Yeah. Also, apparently, the game will not freeze if you weren't bunny hopping for too long. But the exact time, you know, that you are required, you know, to do the bunny hop for this glitch is unknown. And if the freeze is caused at the peak of Mount Pyre, the clouds still move. You know, and of course, it's been fixed for international versions and everything. Also, there's a surf on land glitch in the Japanese version. I love these because most of these are the Japanese version, which I feel really bad about because I feel like they get the beta, you know, end of the stick, where it's just, hey, guys, pay money to test out, you know, to test this for us so the Americans can get a better version. Thank you. Because there's a surf on land glitch, where in the Japanese version, if you, you know, you could use the acro bike to surf on land, right, by jumping right next to the coast at a specific spot at Route 118 and using surf at the right moment while in midair. Again, the idea that people were able to do this. Just a lot of, I mean, just a lot of interesting stuff. I mean, I'm looking at some more stuff right now. There's a trainer ledge slash fence slash wall glitch, right? Where in earlier versions of Ruby and Sapphire, including the English version, there are trainers in Route 118, 121, and the abandoned ship, which can walk through ledges slash walls if they spot the player. So the glitch was fixed in later versions, you know, such as the Spanish versions, and was also fixed in your Emerald. So I'm so sorry that you couldn't experience someone walking through a wall. The original ghost, everyone. Don't worry about Pokemon X. These
well, no,
characters.
I mean, Emerald had multiple marketed improvements, I mean, in terms of, like, taking care of glitches and stuff. I'm being informed that the Thunderbolt and Thunder glitch that I'm mentioning It was present in some copies of Ruby and Sapphire, not Emerald, but the repeating sound effect was actually in all three of the games. So that for some reason they couldn't get rid of that.
Right, but it was in all three games, but it only apparently reared its ugly head in Ruby and Sapphire.
No. The repeating sound was in all three, but in terms of like completely crashing your game based on animation, it was only in some copies of Ruby and Sapphire.
Oh, okay. Thank you. That's the split. Because well, I was like, wait. So then the difference is okay. That's cool. But also, certain trainer sprites are made different depending on Japanese or international. And some of them were, you know, let's see. We look at the Hex Maniacs, Psychics, the male cool trainer, and we look at one of the sailors. And it's very interesting because apparently, you know, the Hex Maniacs were changed to have smaller eyes with pupils. So, and female psychics have their arms stretched outwards, which is weird because apparently people are saying maybe it's the idea that, you know, in Japan it looks like their arms are around their chest or around their neck, which, you know, and of course it sounds silly now, but I mean the idea is that the screens are very small. So we don't know, you know, so I mean the hands are now outward for psychics. Male cool trainers has very minor changes, and honestly looking at it, I don't even see most of the, oh, it's a hair thing. That's all it is. Hey, this male cool trainer isn't as douchebaggy as we want him to be. Let's give him a spike in the back of his hair. Got it, boss. You know, it's just, and then of course the sailor who is not making a gesture that for some people in countless other countries is the middle finger, right? Which I think you know what I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm.
So that's changed, which is really funny because the song is like, this is my strongman pose. Actually, for our international versions, let's not use this. I would prefer we don't. And yeah, anything else you want to say before we're going to have to wrap this whole baby up?
One of the last things I found charming about Emerald was the fact that you could actually choose which version of the Eon duo that you wanted to catch. Because after the Elite Four, I don't know if you remember this, but your mother, you know, in Ruby or Sapphire, it would say that a blue Pokemon or a red Pokemon is roaming around the region.
And
actually get asked by your mother in Emerald, like, hey, what color was the Pokemon on TV? And I chose blue because I'm a huge Latios fan. And I just thought that was cool because thinking back on it, like, you actually chose which one you had to catch. That's incredible.
Yeah, that is pretty cool. Yeah, especially let's say you only got, maybe you got Ruby and then you got Emerald. Because, you know, it's like, oh, I can't get all three, but I want to get one and then the remake. You can help yourself, you know, fix your Pokedex up. And also, something else that I want to mention. So there's a man in a house in Zootopolis City, and he would host battles with mystery events in the Japanese version. However, this event was removed from international versions. And what does that mean to us? What it means is that they left the old man. They left the home. So he has a similar message. Right, to the old woman that is at a Seven Island in Fire Red and Leaf Green. Why? Because of the fact that, and of course, in his, there's stairs blocked by trees. So you sit there and you're like, wait a minute, I don't understand what's happening here. Yeah, you're not supposed to, even though it's still there. And it really sucks because it's the idea that, you know, at least you look at something like Crystal, right? And I admire their ability to go, not only are we removing Pokemon, the ability to trade, you know, the mobile system command center, basically, we're also going to get rid of the data and make it just a normal Pokemon center. Because at least you're sitting there like, oh, this is a normal Pokemon center. It seemed off to me as a kid, but it shouldn't seem off to everyone, right? It's just, oh, it's a Pokemon center, whatever. But imagine had we walked into the Pokemon center and it'd be like this huge base and it said stuff like, look what you can do. And then we couldn't. It reminds me of the printing stuff that we never got in America, but I would argue that maybe they thought we were supposed to, so that's why they left it. Like, oh, we're going to get that printing thing one day, don't worry. And then we never got the printer.
Yeah, we missed out on certain things. I mean, there is a lady in one of the cities, it might have been Moss Deep, that has that proverbial, like, hey, you know, it's that door stacked with boxes that everybody wants to know what's behind it.
Are you sure you're not thinking of Seven Island and Fire Red and Leaf Green?
No, I believe there was a person in Moss Deep with the boxes on the door.
Maybe so. Maybe there was another.
Well, I mean, we have a fact checker for that who does excellent work, so I can just ask them.
Yeah, but as kids, or at least teenagers at this point in our lives, we really thought they were messing with us. Like, we really
I thought there was something behind there where I was like, why? I mean, Emerald came out in, like, what, 2005 for America? Yeah,
so it came
out early in 2005, so I was turning, I wasn't even 12 yet. And it's just a matter of, like, why is this door? No, what's wrong with you people? And it will forever tick me off. And, you know, as much as there are things that I really loved about the game, I mean, I think Emerald might have been the first game where you were actually allowed to have gym leader rematches, too.
That's interesting. That's something I also don't remember.
I think you could rematch them via Pokénav in double battles.
Oh. Well,
because what happened was they really pressed this whole, like, double battle thing where it was like, hey, not only can you come back and battle us at stronger levels, but we're going to be all playing doubles now.
That's nice. I enjoy that. But,
my quirky facts, I think. I think I'm done with any other info I can pull on Emerald outside of the fact that I liked it. So.
Yeah, I mean, I enjoyed them as well, you know, more than I did in my first playthrough. I played through them a bit more, you know, in the recent years, and now I really want to get a full, like, you know, recent, you know, in my memory playthrough, finish the game, you know, started it recently, and I'm going to really enjoy it. And then next week we should be looking at some Fire Red and Leaf Green. How will we be looking at it? Well, of course, you know, we have ourselves a Tumblr that you can go find our shows at, thoseguysontheradio.tumblr.com, which is our website. You can also find us, you know, via our Facebook, Those Guys on the Radio, or just search up Those Guys. Our Twitter, Those Guys Radio, which we're known as Professor Oak. And then, Satish, tell everyone why we're known as Professor Oak.
I don't know why we're known as Professor Oak. I don't remember this joke anymore. You can't do that to me.
What?
You asked, you said, tell everyone why we're known as Professor Oak. And the only answer I have for that is that our fact checker likes to play tricks on us.
Pokemon giveaway, my friend.
But, Professor, that's why we're known as Professor Oak.
I would hope so. He gives away all of the Pokemon. Always.
Yeah, but
Professor Oak in every gym.
Yeah, but his giveaways are nothing compared to, like, us. Because we're giving away shiny, spooky, competitively ready Pokemon. This guy has nothing on us. And you have to go out and purchase a game to even have contact with Professor Oak. With us, all you have to do is reblog our post on Tumblr and follow us, retweet our post from Twitter and follow us there, or share our post on Facebook and like us on our Facebook, and you have a chance to win one of six shiny, spooky, Halloween-themed Pokemon that we're giving out this month with beneficial natures for battling and good IVs. Professor Oak has nothing on us, and I may add the fact that I was right, there is a house in Moss Deep, so suck it.
Thank you. Well, hey, there's another one. There's multiple. But hey, I see what you did there, and I'm okay with that. I enjoy Professor Oak, but I'm okay with that. So, thank you guys for listening to Those Guys. Remember our Pokemon Shiny giveaway. Remember that, you know, if you don't win something this month, please, you know, don't be upset. We will keep on having giveaways for as long as we can. And, of course, remember that these Pokemon are coming specifically from Satish's box, Satish being a competitive battler himself, so he knows what he's talking about. Where if I said, you know, they came from my box, I wouldn't know jack about shit. So don't trust me when it comes to giving away free Pokemon. Trust Satish Ram. Believe in the Ram.
That brings me back to high school.
Oh, dear. So, of course, you know, next week we're working on Pokemon Fire Red and Leaf Green. and hopefully we'll have you guys then. And if not, you know, at least get someone else to listen in your place. And if you can listen, still get the other person to listen. Right? Just, you know, quadruple the love. And, of course, our Gmail, by the way, that we did not mention, thoseguysonradio@gmail.com, where you can, you know, talk to us about, you know, let's say you want to suggest a show idea, which, of course, you know, you can also do through our Tumblr. But if you want to suggest it there, as well as different advertising opportunities, because, you know, we would love to advertise your product, your legal product, and, of course, your company, your legal company. We need to really stress it. And, yes, so, again, thank you guys for listening to Those Guys, and goodbye. Say goodbye to the dish.
Good night, everybody.